Welcome to Language Access is No Vitamin, an essential podcast for those shaping the future of healthcare in America. Let's transform our healthcare system from seeing language access as an optional vitamin to the cure of patient-centered care. Welcome to Language Access is No Vitamin. Empecemos. Welcome. Hello. Welcome to Language Access is No Vitamin. I'm your host, Joanna Tudela, your strategic advantage in patient-centered healthcare. Thank you for joining me today. Whether you're live or catching the replay, this episode promises to be an eye-opener. Before diving in, I want us to get us in the right mood. Think back when you face a language barrier. Maybe on a trip abroad or visiting a diverse community where you could not understand some of the local terminology or accents. How did it feel being unable to communicate your needs? Confusing, frustrating. Now imagine facing that in a healthcare setting, a place where you go to understand your health, seek guidance on wellness, and receive care when you're vulnerable and need healing. And these are critical moments where clear communication isn't just helpful, it's essential. This is what we're going to explore in this podcast. But before we dive into today's episode and the topic, since this is our first one, I want to share a little bit about me and my mission with Language Access. Because Language Access is more than a professional interest, it's a personal mission. I moved to the United States when I was 18 without knowing basically any English. So I was considered a limited English proficient or LEP individual. Later on, I became an interpreter and a translator, and then a provider in the healthcare field. So I've experienced firsthand the barriers and the gaps in communication within the healthcare system. And these experiences drove me to establish Culturizing Access because my goal is to create connections, improve patient outcomes, enhance provider performance, reduce employee burnout, and ultimately ensure patients' safety, all through the power of effective communication. And this is why we're here today. To learn and discuss how language access can improve patient health outcomes while reducing costs. So let's start with today's episode. Why language access is an urgent care and not a nice to have. When we talk about language access in healthcare, we're not just discussing a luxury. We're talking about a fundamental aspect in patient care. So why is this just not important, but absolutely critical? First, let's consider the sheer numbers of people affected. Over 25 million people in the United States are considered to be LEPs or limited English proficient. That's about 8% of the population. And when I say limited English proficient, I don't mean that these individuals don't speak any English. They might. They just speak English less than very well, meaning that you might be able to have some basic conversations with them in English. But when there's topics that are really matter, like healthcare or something legal, education or finance, they prefer to have these conversations in the most proficient language. So hence, when we say limited English proficient, this doesn't mean that the individual doesn't speak any English, just not very well. I just want to repeat that one more time. So yes, about 8% of the U.S. population, 25 million individuals, are considered LEP. And from them, 63% of them are Latinos. But for example, a higher percentage of them are actually from the Asian American communities. So it's a very varied community. But in addition to this, language access supports individuals who are deaf or hard hearing and individuals who are blind. So this is not just about immigrants or people that came to the US that don't speak English. We also include Native Americans. Many of them don't speak English very well and need services that are related to language services. So if we add the hard hearing, the deaf, and the Black community, we're adding another 12 million individuals in the United States. These individuals have the right to quality healthcare, just like anyone else. But without proper language services, there's significant disadvantage. So now, let's talk about patient safety. An Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality study in 2015 found that 54% of the adverse health events in the LEP populations were due to communication errors. And we talk about adverse health events, we're talking about from moderate to severe, including death. And these aren't just minor mishaps. We're talking about life-altering mistakes, misdiagnosis, and even fatalities. And this is not something that just happens, you know, a long time ago or from time to time. It continues to happen. Again, 54% of these events in the LAP community are communication errors. And to tell you a recent case, in 2018, a Native American man from the Navajo Nation in New Mexico died after going 3 times to his health organization to receive care. And they couldn't communicate properly with him because they didn't have the proper interpreters. And this man, unfortunately, ended up dying. Yep, 2018. So we're still here talking about language access. And yes, clear communication is not just about convenience, but preventing these tragic outcomes, like I just mentioned. And it's not just the patients who suffer, right? When we're talking about language access and these barriers, healthcare providers face challenges when they can't communicate effectively with the patients. Misunderstandings can lead to frustration, delay in treatment, and decreased job satisfaction. Let's not forget the legal and financial implications. The cost of neglecting language access can be staggering. Hospitals and healthcare systems risk noncompliance with federal laws like Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And there are so many financial repercussions that can come from this, including potential lawsuits and settlements, which can cost millions. $5 million on average, to be more precise. But beyond the numbers and the legalities, at the core of this issue is the fundamental human right to healthcare. Imagine being sick, scared, and unable to understand or express your health concerns. This is a reality for many LEPs. And many of us suffer a lot of anxiety when we go to see our health provider without even having language barriers. So include that to the top of feeling this fear about whatever it is that is making you go to see your provider and the anxiety about, you know, needles and going to see a doctor. And now you're adding communication barriers. It's a lot. It's really, really a lot. So providing language access is about ensuring dignity, respect, and equitable treatment for every patient. In recent years, there have been strides in improving language access, with more hospitals adopting interpreting services and translating key documents. And this is now really only happening in healthcare, which I'm very happy to say. In the past few months, I've seen many, many states and organizations implementing this type of language access policies. We're talking about, for example, New York City, that's implemented a lot of them. I know Virginia has done that. And not just in healthcare, the education setting is also working really hard to improve language access. Because really, anything that an LEP individual experiences and needs to communicate really falls into needing language access, especially when we're talking about those very, very important topics. So it's a lot of improvements happening, but there is a long way to go. Let's talk about technology. Technology like telephonic and video interpretation is bridging some gaps, especially during the pandemic. But the human element remains irreplaceable in many cases. And as healthcare professionals, administrators, and policymakers, we must ensure that language barriers do not become barriers to healthcare. This is about more than just ticking a box for compliance. It's about making a real difference in lives of millions of individuals and their families. Language access is healthcare is urgent. It's not a nice to have, it's a must have. It's about ensuring safety, quality, and equity in healthcare for everyone, regardless of their language. So now, let's explore why language access in healthcare is crucial. It's not about just interpreting words. It's about understanding cultural nuances and conveying the right message that resonates with the patient's cultural and emotional context. Did you know that miscommunication in healthcare can lead to incorrect treatments and poor patient adherence? So studies have shown that when patients understand their healthcare providers, they're more likely to follow medical advice and treatment plans. This is crucial for chronic conditions like diabetes or hypertension when patient involvement is key. So if you want to make sure that your patient is going to follow through whatever advice you're telling them, whatever treatment they need to do, you need to make sure that they can understand what they are telling you, right? So a little key that I want to tell you about it happens in a lot of cultures, but I want to talk about the Latino culture, which is the one that I am more experienced with. If your patient starts answering to you with, yep, okay, mm-hmm, yep, yep, uh-huh, okay, you got to know that the person is not really understanding anything they're telling you. They're just being respectful because that is the right thing to do. They might feel fear from telling you that they don't understand, that they don't want to make you repeat the instructions again. But if you see that key of them just agreeing with you without really asking questions or anything, just yes, okays, and sures, and uh-huh, something needs to trigger in your brain that says, this person is not really understanding. So my advice, my tip to you is to ask them to repeat back to you what you tell them. Like, what are you supposed to do with this medication? What is your next step? Tell me what I just told you. And that way you'll really understand if your patient truly knows what they're supposed to do. And that will increase the adherence to the treatment or the follow-up steps that you want them to take. And this advice is really not only for LAPs. It really applies to any patient or client that we see. We always want to make sure with this teach-back method that our patients and clients are understanding what we're saying. But there's more, right? Let's talk about the emotional toll. Imagine the stress and anxiety of being in a hospital, unable to understand the language. This emotional burden can hinder recovery and increase the risk of complications. So language access services can alleviate this stress, significantly impacting the patient's overall experience and recovery process. Another topic I want to mention today is the impact of language barriers on public health. So when individuals that are LAP don't receive proper information, it affects their health and the community's health, right? So during COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic, for example, the lack of accessible language services led to misinformation and lower vaccination rates in some LAP communities. For much of the pandemic, by the time most of this information arrived to these LAP communities, it was badly translated or already old and irrelevant. So there was a lot of push of translating information into other languages, not just necessarily accurate, but also very, very fast because information was arriving basically on a daily basis. And the LAP communities were feeling left out. They would not understand what the regulations were, what they were supposed to do or not. So that really, really showed the impact of these language barriers in things like healthcare or pandemics when individuals were left out. And then we saw the severe disparities with COVID and vaccinations later on with these communities. So this shows that language is not just vital for public health initiatives and crisis management. And then lastly, language access is key to achieving health equity. It helps level the field by giving all patients, regardless of language, the same opportunity for quality care. Individuals shouldn't be choosing their providers just because they're the only ones around that speak their language or the only ones around that provide language access. They should be picking the provider or organizations because they're the best, because they will provide them the best care. That's what's fair. That's what's equitable, right? So when we're looking at language access and providers, it's not about expecting all providers to know all languages. It's not realistic. We don't even have enough providers as it is right now. But with addition of language access, we can make every provider from every field and every organization available for all individuals in this country, regardless if they have language barrier or not. And this is especially important in diverse regions where multiple languages are spoken, right? The law, really, when we talk about Title VI, which is not the only one, we'll talk about laws later on, but Title VI is one of the main ones. And that law really talks about individuals having access to these services, and they have to be in a way that is not necessarily like, oh, we only have interpreters for Spanish, for example, which is the most common of the languages here in the United States outside of English, right? Even if it's just one patient that you're serving that has one specific language, if you are under any of these laws, if you're receiving federal funds, you have to provide language access and language services to these individuals. That is the law. It doesn't have to be, you know, 20% of the population or 10. There's not really a magic number. The law is very, very clear. One individual, it's enough for you to have to provide language access. All right, let's talk about economic aspects. Investing in language services can save money in the long run. And I know a lot of people are always worried about, it's an expense, we're not getting reimbursed, especially not 100%. Some states will get reimbursed some, but a lot of people see it as a loss for the organization. But it really, it's not in the long run. Effective communication leads to more accurate diagnosis, fewer repeat visits, and lower hospital readmission rates. So if you look at it from this perspective, you will be saving time in missed appointments because people will show up or having to reschedule. When you are not able to communicate with your patient, for example, you have to do extra tests. So you will be saving money by not doing those tests, by not going around trying to figure out what's happening because you're not getting the actual patient history, which is approximately 80% of the information that you need to make a diagnosis, right? Besides lab work, your patient history, it's essential. And if you do not have an interpreter there to provide that information accurate, it's like you're going blindfold trying to serve and take care of this patient. So language services benefits patients, but it also reduces the overall strain in the healthcare system. And I know a lot of organizations are really looking at ways of saving money because we get paid less and less from, you know, health insurances and things like that. So if you're looking for ways of saving, look at language access. See how much you are spending with this LEP individuals for things that can be reduced just by improving the communication, right? Language access in healthcare is an intricate web of legal, ethical, cultural, and emotional factors. And we'll talk about this in the next episodes. This is just an introduction to the podcast and what we're going to be talking about and inviting you all to come and have a chat with me. So this podcast is a little bit different. We're going to be doing a live podcast on LinkedIn once a month. And then you can watch it in other streams like YouTube and Spotify. But on the live one, I invite you to leave your comments and maybe even pop up and have a conversation with me if you want to have, you know, a chat or you have a point of view that you would like to share. I wanted to make it, yes, it's a podcast, but I wanted to make it very, very casual in that way. So we'll chat a lot about these things in more depth in the next episode. So make sure you send me your comments and your questions to add to the conversation, even if you just watch the replay. Remember, language access is about more than just translating words. It's about ensuring understanding, respect, and proper care for every patient. And before we move in into the Q&A segment, let's talk about a mini segment then inside this podcast, which is about myths. So those of you who think you know about language access, or maybe it's something that you have heard and that you had to explain many, many times to individuals about language access. Our next segment will debunk a common myth about language access. And this will shed the light on some of the misconceptions of the error in our understanding of the importance of language services in healthcare. So let's start with that. So yes, let's talk about our first myth. So a prevalent myth often surfaced in discussions about language access in healthcare is the belief that, you know, these people should just learn English, right? I get that a lot. Like, why can't they just learn English? Why do I have to provide language access to them? And really, let's set this, why this viewpoint, while seemingly straightforward, misses the mark in several ways, all right? First, let's consider the journey of learning a language. Acquiring proficiency in a new language is a long-term process, not something that happens overnight. Imagine how many years of Spanish or French or any other language you took in high school. And I'm going to say probably you still don't feel proficient enough, much less to have a doctor's conversation or something related to health in this language. Right? So we're talking about a long-term process. So really expecting somebody to master English quickly, it's really unrealistic. especially when healthcare issues are urgent and it cannot wait. I tell that to a lot of individuals that mention that. Let's talk about, you know, immigrants, which are the majority of the LEP community. Yes, they should be speaking English eventually. I'm not going to talk about, you know, if that's right or wrong. That's not the point, but they don't. And my explanation in very simple ways is that there are certain things that cannot wait until somebody learns English. You cannot wait and not be sick, right? Until you learn English. You can't tell yourself, no, you have to learn English before you can go check that cough that you have or that pain in your back that you have. You have to learn English first. Or you have to learn English before you can consult a lawyer if you need one for, I don't know, immigration or a divorce or whatever it might be, or to get financial advice or get a loan or open a bank account, right? So these things that happen cannot wait for you to learn English. And that's why that misconception of they must learn English is not very realistic to the situation. We have many, many immigrants, and not just immigrants, like I said, we also have visitors. We have tourists, many millions of tourists that come here. So and we're supposed to expect them to know English before we serve them in the ER if something happens? Not realistic. And remember, it's not only LEPs or immigrants. We're talking about also Native American communities, the deaf and blind communities. So there's a lot of other individuals that benefit from language access. Second, let's talk about equitable healthcare. It isn't just about linguistic assimilation. It's about providing care that each patient can understand and respond to irrespective of their native language. Healthcare equity means adapting our services to meet patients where they are linguistically and culturally. And finally, it's crucial to remember that providing language access in healthcare isn't just a matter of courtesy or good customer service. It's a legal requirement. Under U.S. federal law, including the Title VI of the Civil Rights Act that I mentioned earlier, and the Americans with Disability Act, healthcare providers receiving federal funding must offer interpretation and translation services. This legal framework is a place to ensure that all patients, regardless of their language proficiency, have equal access to quality healthcare. So when we're here, they should learn English. It's essential to recognize the complexities and the legal responsibilities involved in language access. It's not about a simple solution to a complex issue. It's about understanding, accommodating, and legally providing for the diverse linguistic mix of patients. So yes, this is our episode for today. I want to make sure that you know that I will be sharing some resources on my website and on LinkedIn following this conversation. And in the next episodes, we're going to delve a little bit more about all of these topics that we mentioned. I hope that you liked it. I hope that you enjoyed it. I ask you to please share it with those providers or healthcare leaders that need to understand a little bit more about what language access is and how they can really improve their organizations and become the gold standard of language access, because we're still looking for that gold standard in the United States. And again, my name is Joanna Tudela, and I'm your Strategic Advantage in Patient-Centered Healthcare. See you on the next episode.